Well, that's it, folks, a couple of times around. Let me go through it very slowly, and when I get to an interesting bit, a juicy bit, we can stop and see what it is. Traditional music, in order to stop the guitar sounding like a DX7, it's good to put embellishments in. In the course of this tune, we're using some traditional embellishments here. This is a kind of a pull-off. I'm not sure exactly what the technical word for this is. It's a pull-off, then a hammer-on, and then a double pull-off. There must be a name for this, but I don't know what it is. There's a lot of those all the way through the tune, and they're pretty much arbitrary. There's places where it's better to put them than not put them, but it's very much up to the player. So you can use your discretion in the use of that kind of thing. What you're going for, I suppose, is, you know, that Irish or that Scottish sound. So you'll know when you get it right. So plenty of those. Something else we're using here is vibrato. And I'm using what's really a rock and roll guitar vibrato, which I suppose is permissible on an acoustic guitar. And what this is really, it's a side-to-side vibrato, i.e. from the floor to the ceiling vibrato, rather than from the bridge to the peg head of the guitar vibrato. You're going really perpendicular to the string. I'm just using this on some notes, really, and it's in imitation, really, of other instruments or of the human voice. It's a thing you get on Irish pipes sometimes, and it's a thing you get on the fiddle. It's a thing where when people sing, you know, they'll use vibrato on some notes. It's definitely appropriate to pull the string a little bit sharp, because a tune like this really sounds better if it's not played in absolute tempered pitch. If some of these notes sound a little wild, that helps things. Especially in Irish music, the seventh note of the scale, it's often very hard to tell if the seventh is one of those sevenths or if it's a major seventh. It's usually somewhere in between the two. So that's something for you to think about and play around with. Let's see, I'll get a little further down the tune and see what else we can find here. Okay, what's happening here? We're using a higher inversion. This is the fourth string, sixth fret is being bent up a semitone while the open strings are left ringing. Again, this creates a very interesting Irish kind of sound. This is very Scottish sounding Irish music here. We use a lot of pull-offs. Again, there's a lot of leeway in this. There's a lot of variations that you can do yourself on this part of the tune. You can do it really anyhow you want to. When we come to the next part of the tune, these single notes sound very good if they're stopped. And then the next part, what we play in octaves. This is a very good tuning for playing octaves in. You can do a lot of interesting effects on traditional tunes. And it's good as an exercise to learn octave scales around this tuning. Very good for reinforcement any time if you want something to sound stronger. If you listen to Django Reinhardt records, he was a great user of the octave to play something with a heavy feel. Also, if you can get the aforementioned sideways rock and roll vibrato on both notes of the octave, this can sound very effective. You just have to wiggle both fingers at once. OK, Okay, we then come to a part of the tune where I'm playing the second and third strings in unison. This is by fretting the third string two frets higher than the second string, and then just sliding them up and down as the tune dictates. You know, again, this is just another effect that's nice to throw in sometimes, and this tuning lends itself to it very well. The next part of the tune involves playing a descending bass line across the tune. Now, we'll go through this slowly. Again, a little vibrato is nice wherever possible. It just adds a little more character to the notes. Well, let's look at the bass line first. It's a fairly simple line. It's just a straight scale down. And the fingering for this is second finger, first finger, open fifth string, then third finger slid, and then your thumb hooked over the back of the guitar. So it's a... And that's at the same time that the tune is going on, so it requires a split personality to play it. And a nice bend up on the last note is nice. Or alternatively, you can do a hammer-on or something. It's up to you on the fine details. I should say something about the right-hand technique, which is a little strange on this tune. What's really happening is that I'm using the pick held between the thumb and first finger on the bass strings, usually for drone notes, key notes. And the fingers are playing the melody. And the pick rarely strays above the fourth string. And the fingers rarely stray below the fourth string. It's not really a conscious technique. It's just something that I do without thinking about it. Also on this tune, there isn't a regular pulse in the bass. On some other tunes that we're going to do, the bass is moving fairly regularly in a pattern like that. This is a very airy sort of tune, and it doesn't want to be tied down to too tight a pulse rhythm. And so what I'm doing is really throwing in drones and bass notes as the mood dictates, if you like. There isn't a set place to do this. You see, there's only a couple of bass notes in there. I'm also differentiating between the bottom D here and the D an octave higher for different effect. The low one is more dramatic. The higher one is lighter and moves with the melody much more. Bass one. A lot of higher Ds there. This kind of music, traditional music, folk music, whatever you want to call it, is something that depends very much on style and feel. In fact, you could almost say that the feel is the music. If you look at it as a bunch of notes, it doesn't really make any sense. It's only the feel that you put into the notes that gives it coherence and feeling and any real relevance. And so the little fluctuations in degrees on and off the note, and bends and vibrato, that all give it a kind of a humanity